Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
And here we go, another version of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. I am Mike Jacobson, man to my right is Scott King, as we broadcast live from the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower on the beautiful, magnificent Mile. Follow him at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio on Twitter, Blackhawks Crazy. Type that into your little Facebook, and you will find us there, and like us, love us, all those good things, and once again, good to see you, my friend.
It's great to see you, Michael. It's great to see you. You know, let's cut the formalities. You know, just get that dagger out. Well, put it right in my heart.
Yeah, well, I informed you on Friday that my last day here at WGN is going to be this Friday, the 5th. So I've taken a new job. I can't remember if I've talked about it on the podcast, but I've been teaching part-time at night at Illinois Media School in Lombard. So we teach radio and television to students and, you know, help them get their first jobs and all that. And I've been just doing that at night, which is kind of a crazy thing to do when you're a morning show producer. But I was doing 6:30 to 10:30 at night, getting home at 11, waking up by 3 and doing that for a while. And kind of out of nowhere, I was offered a full-time position with the school as the director of education, which is basically the way I've been describing it to everybody, it's the vice principal of the school. So there's the principal, who's my boss, the campus director, and then the education director, which is me. So I thought about it. I went to Mexico for about a week with my girlfriend and her family, and then decided I wanted to take it. It's a new move. I've been in radio for 10 years. I've been working crazy hours for 10 years, which I still love radio, and I'll still be a part of radio, but I've been seeking a management role. So this is like a combination of managing, teaching. I'll be ahead of all the curriculum for the school. I'll be helping career placements and getting kids their first jobs. I will be head of all teachers, so I'll be teaching seminars on how to teach our classes in radio and television and social media and all that. And I decided to take it. So that was that. And then just to throw that, you know, some more wood on There's some more wood on the fire. I got engaged this past Friday. So
congratulations.
Thank you very
That's
much.
That's awesome. And before Mike elaborates on that, Mike did call me around the holidays to tell me, I'm just teasing him. It's an awesome opportunity with the school. He enjoyed teaching there so much. You've helped a lot of kids get jobs. So congratulations, man.
Thank you.
It's awesome. You know, I'm sure obviously you're going to get to that. You're not going to be able to continue with this podcast that we've...
It'll be a little tough, yeah.
We've done three seasons now, you know?
I know.
A lot of great episodes, and we're going to miss you a ton, and I appreciate everything you've done for me launching this and helping me behind the scenes, and it's been awesome, man. We've done some really great work and great shows, and I couldn't have done it without you.
Oh,
so,
well,
thanks so much.
I appreciate it, and I mean, when you asked me and our boss, Todd, to come on board and be a part of this, I was all in, and I've had a blast. We've improved tremendously from if we will listen back to our first podcast compared to where we are now. I mean, it's been a 180. And what's fun is too is like we're friends, so we're not just like doing this like, oh, you know, I got to work with this guy.
No,
that's
one of the best parts. Same age, same sense of humor, love hockey.
Yeah,
and it's just fun. It's just fun every week.
Yeah, we really enjoy doing this, and even with like my crazy hours and stuff, I still wanted to do this. And but this opportunity came, and then like I said, I was in I had like about a week in Mexico to really think about it, and I was pretty much set on taking it, but I wasn't 100%. I just wanted to think about it a little bit, and then decided to take it. So the new semester starts on Monday, so that's when I will be starting my new gig and out in Lombard. So, but I would still like to be a part of the podcast, perhaps call in every now and then.
Yeah, for
whatever.
Sure. I am going to try to keep it going somehow. Mike and I talked a little bit before the show because I'm going to value his input this whole step of the way. As long as it goes, I'm going to be picking Mike's brain. And whether I do it by myself or we threw some names around, definitely want to keep it going. You know, it's probably not going to be the same back and forth that me and Mike have. It's going to be a different show, but I want to keep it going in some capacity, and Mike will try to call in, and hopefully we'll be at the convention again. Hopefully you can make that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to do more kind of live shows I think the fans like, so hopefully Mike can be a part of those too.
Well, yeah, so, and what we were talking about, keeping the podcast alive, which I'm 100% positive it will. It's just a matter of it'll be just reformatted. So it will be within the WGN family if you have a new partner or somebody that'll be with you. If not, you'll be doing solo some days and having interviews.
Sure, sure.
So the podcast will continue, and you're the most important part of the podcast. You're the one who covers the team on a daily basis. You're the guy that really knows the team in and out. I'm just here more for fun. I love to watch. I was a reporter on the team before. Not anymore. You're the one that's there each and every, basically every home game. I mean, you are the guy that's behind the scenes that can really provide the information that our listeners want. So that's what's most important.
But I don't even know if I could turn the lights on without you here. going to be tough.
That's what engineers and part-time producers are for, so you'll be just fine.
They don't have your smile and White Sox cap.
That's right. That's right.
So Warren, your is it bigger? It's got to be bigger news. I mean, people change jobs all the time. You have even bigger news that you engaged.
Yeah,
so how do you...
It was awesome.
There's a lot of pressure to do the right proposal around the holidays, I feel like, on a man.
Well,
how do you do that?
So I was waiting. So I asked... my girlfriend Audrey, well, fiance Audrey,
yeah,
still getting used to that.
It's going to take a while.
I know. So she was, has four parents because she parents divorced. They both have been remarried. So she has stepbrothers too. So I asked permission of all four parents to make sure that was okay.
Wow.
Asked her
baller
dad,
move. Asked power her, move. That's
asked her
great.
Dad and stepmom in Mexico because they took us to Mexico. So I asked them. Probably a little, just about a week prior to when I did it on this past Friday. And then asked her mom and stepdad as well. And they live up in Milwaukee. Her parents live in Denver. Her other parents, I should say, her dad and stepmom. So to get all of them in one weekend is pretty rare. So I knew this weekend, I targeted it for a long time this past weekend because they had a Christmas extended Christmas family party on her mom's side. And her dad was going to be in town for New Year's Day. And was going to come over to watch football anyway. So I thought, all right, I can do it on Friday. That means she can see both parents, both sets of parents, and knock all that out. And she loves the Christmas time, and she loves New Year's Eve, so that sort of thing. And I'm like, it's smashed right in between. It'll be perfect. I'm like, I took the week off of Christmas week, so I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to set up. I got 51 candles lit going up our stairs and rose petals and the whole nine yards, a bottle of vintage champagne waiting with 25 more roses. And I had to do all that in 45 minutes because she was working from home on Friday, which she did not find out until 2 days before. She says, oh, by the way, I'm going to be working from home on Friday. I said, oh, no. So luck would have it, or fate would have it, she had a dentist appointment and for a filling. So that gave me about 45 minutes. So in 45 minutes, I lit 51 candles.
You're lucky it wasn't a major procedure where she's all like gassed up and out
of
it.
Well, that's the thing, too. And it was
she wouldn't remember that she got engaged.
So I called her mom. Her boss and said, just so you know.
I thought you were going to say dentist. I called her dentist.
Ask her, I'm like, how long does the filling take? Can you eat or drink afterwards? Like I said, it's been so long since I've had one. And she's like giving me no answers. And I'm like, all right. So I called her boss and said, you know, if she doesn't log in after 3 o'clock today right away, or she doesn't get back to emails right away, it might be because, you know, I'm asking her to marry me. You just had to have her work from home, and she was very cooperative. So her boss was awesome. She's like, if she logs in, I'll kill her. Enjoy it and all that. And so I had everything set up. I had about 5 minutes to spare with everything set up. She walked up the stairs. A lot of tears ensued from both of us. I did my spiel. She said yes, and the phone calls ensued after that. So we went to our first our first date was at the Twisted Spoke, which is in the West Loop.
Yes.
It's a bar, and that's where we went for our first date because I met her here at WGN. She works in PR, so she brought in a client one day on our show. I said, oh, that redhead's kind of cute. I'm going to send her an email and see if she wants to go out for a drink. And fate would have it, we went to the Twisted Spoke. That was our first date. So we went back there Friday night for a drink, and then we had our favorite Italian restaurant. We had dinner, and next day saw her mom, and then a couple days later saw her dad, and so it all worked out. And then just to throw another log on the fire, my second niece was just born about 4 hours ago. So Madeline Lorraine Jacobson was just born.
That's awesome.
So that was another thing that was kind of in the balance because I didn't want to steal any thunder from them. So the baby was late. So then I thought I was actually going to ask her, you know, to get engaged this Friday, which is my last day here at WGN. So What it all comes down to, I know this is very confusing, but I'm taking a new job, I got engaged, and my niece was born today, and it was all this stuff was just all in the same couple of weeks.
And nothing will ever be the same.
No kidding.
That's a lot of good news, positive news.
Yeah.
But like I said before the show, hit you like a ton of bricks. You're a different man.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever going to be the same. You're going to be in my boat now. You're engaged. You have a family soon. You'll be trying to go do a show with your friend, and you'll be cutting it close because you're waiting for the HVAC guy to come because your heat's out. And your kids will be crying. No, they were actually fine this morning. But no, yeah, that's awesome, man. It's all great news.
Thank you. And I'm really excited. I mean, it's with a heavy heart because I've been here at WGN for 3.5 years now. I started with Cap and Haw when the game started, and then the game went under, but we still were live on Comcast, so did that for a while, and then that show went away eventually, and then the great team here at WGN, they kept me on, which was great and very much appreciated, and I did various roles after that. You know, I was a Hawks reporter, I did The Beat on the weekends, producing that sports show, and then eventually took over the Cochran show here about 18 months ago, so my last day will be Friday, and it'll be a tearful goodbye in a lot of ways, but I'm really excited about what the future holds for me, too.
I'm still picturing that proposal. You're like a modern-day Fred Astaire. Not only was there, like, roses and candles and like, velvet shawls and ropes and drapes, but you literally, like, either kept up to date everyone in her life or asked them for permission.
It's yeah,
like,
it's exactly.
I never heard of a boss being contacted for a proposal.
Yeah, it's, well, I had to make
you really,
sure.
You really dotted all your I's and crossed your T's with this one.
She's a very hard worker, and I knew when she kept... So our plan, too, she thought we were leaving to go to her mom's up in Milwaukee Friday night. We were going to get up there the night before for the family party so we could be up there, and then we wouldn't have to worry about driving in the morning. So, like, I had to pack a fake bag and all that, and... So, and she kept saying, well, I'm going to have to do some work in the car, so you're going to have to drive. So I'm like, well, maybe you should get your work done before the dentist appointment, you know. She's like, so I knew she had some work to do, and she ended up doing a little bit of work.
Oh, but, my gosh.
Because she's a hard worker, but her boss was great, and yeah, so it was a very complicated process, but we got through it. Nobody leaked anything, which was great.
Yeah, it's a lot of people to trust.
Yeah.
I'd be nervous.
I was nervous, and she was complete. You know, most people, when they go get a filling, they don't expect to get married 45 minutes later, so it was funny because her mouth was numb. You know, like I obviously proposed to her. Then I kissed her. She's like, and she started laughing because she's like, I can't feel anything. You know,
you're lucky you made out the word. Are you sure it was a yes? Will you marry me?
Yeah. So I got it out, and I pretty, you know, there's a lot of people that say when they ask, they kind of like black out and don't really remember what they say.
That happened to us.
Yeah. Everybody, I've heard a lot of people say that.
My wife's like, what did I say? I was like, I think you said yes, but you just kind of threw your hand at me and told me to put it on. I proposed next to her in Cancun.
Ooh.
I proposed to her in Cancun in Mexico on the beach, and I had a suit on, and I thought I was doing it in a really nice location. Turns out where I proposed to her was right next to a garbage can, and about 5 yards from us was this very nice, like, little, like, porch on the beach with, like, drapes that I could have done it there. I did it next to a garbage can.
How did you not notice the garbage can?
Because, like you said, I don't know if that was a blackout, but, like, I'm just like, I got to propose right now. I got to say the right thing. I got to get down on one knee on the beach.
Were you going to dinner? Is that why you had a
yes,
suit on?
Oh, we're going to dinner.
So it wasn't like, she's, like, in a swimsuit and you roll up in a suit. That
no,
would be
she thought we
obvious.
Were going to dinner. We're not going to talk any hockey in this podcast. no, it's a proposal podcast. She thought we were going to dinner at one of our favorite restaurants in Cancun. We've been there a few times. My parents had a place there. They wound up selling. Nothing's ever been the same since. so I proposed to her, and I dressed up because it was a nice restaurant, and I told her, oh, wait, I forgot something. Then I came down in a tie, and I had the ring in my pocket. I didn't want her to see me get the ring. So she already knew something was kind of up, and we started walking. And that's when I did it.
So were you nervous bringing the ring on the plane?
Yes. I speak a little Spanish.
You had to put that in a carry-on, right?
Yeah.
You didn't, check that. Okay.
I learned how to say it's an engagement ring in Spanish in case like someone's giving me trouble, like customs or something.
Yeah.
You know, I want to like take it out in front
of. Do you remember
her.
How to say that still?
No.
I think it's a Neo. A Neo is ring. I think it's a Neo.
Yeah.
I have to double check on that, but that's too funny.
It was insane.
I'll give you credit on that because my fiance is... stepbrother just got engaged over Labor Day, and he did the same thing. He brought it. He's from Boston, and he asked his girlfriend in Boston, And like he was telling me that he was so nervous that somebody was going to ask what that is.
Yeah.
And I would never be able to do that.
It's just nerve-wracking traveling today to begin with.
Yeah,
so you
no kidding.
Engagement ring.
Yeah, then throw thousands of dollars worth
right.
of jewelry in there. Yeah, no thanks. But so yeah, it's exciting times right now. That's for sure. So
times are a changing.
They are a changing, and then you know. Fiance's already in full-blown wedding mode. I mean, we've got spreadsheets. We've got – she went to Barnes & Noble and spent $150 on books and magazines, and she's in full
mode.
It'll
be a lot of reading, yeah.
So we're planning on hopefully this fall. That's kind of the plan because she wants to do a fall wedding. We really don't want to wait till 2019, so we got to get on it quick. So that's the plan, so we'll see what happens. So we'll just play it by ear from here. So, Until then, we could talk a little bit of hockey on the Blackhawks
Might
Crazy
as well.
Podcast. Might as well, right?
Blackhawks expected.
Blackhawks are a little bit out of the wild card race right now.
I'd say little. I'd say being last place in the Central.
Yeah,
as of
not
today.
Good. Not good.
I don't think that's something that's happened since the 06-07 season, I believe. Not what you expect these last few years, even when they're struggling and they're rebuilding a little bit, and there's the up and down inconsistencies you've seen. Maybe a little last season, but definitely this season. I'm pretty surprised they're there. And look, you know, there's, I think, what is it, Colorado just has 1 point ahead of them. And they have a couple games in hand on most of these teams. Yeah, Colorado's 43 points, Hawks 42. But yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all. And I think, you know, I think if there's anything to be optimistic about is you finally have Taves and Saad scoring again the last game, you know, and each of them before that game hadn't scored in six games. So they got those goals going.
Nice to get that monkey off their back, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think it's good that, you know, everyone's, where's Taves, not playing like himself. If you look at the possession numbers, you know, last year not that good. This year they're good. They've been pretty good most of the season, and you're seeing him go to net now and finally get rewarded. So I think the fact that they're controlling the puck, possessing it, and going to the net, I think you're going to see more positives out of Saad and Taves. And look now, with the new line changes, you have Hinostroza playing with them. And I think his speed is a real threat, and I think he's going to open the ice for those guys on the first line.
And, of course, the biggest news probably of recent note for the Blackhawks is Corey Crawford.
Yeah,
on IR. Or
his absence.
And
yeah.
You know, that's a big loss, obviously. And, you know, Jeff Glass is a great story, guy that's been grinding for years.
You guys talked to him today?
We talked to him today, actually, on the Cochrane Show for Breakfast with the Blackhawk. And just a great guy and just so appreciative of his opportunity that he's been given here. And, I mean, he's been grinding. He's in the AHL. He's in the KHL.
He's about our age, 32 years young.
32 years old. And him and his wife just had he's got a brand new baby, 2-month-old daughter. And they actually own a yoga studio in Alberta, which is, I did not know about
that's
that.
That's very interesting.
So I think it's really cool. Just one of those guys that's been pursuing the dream for a long time and finally gets to put on the Indian head sweater, which is great. It's a lot of pressure, but he is not Corey Crawford. And
he's not, but it's, you know, it's without Crawford, you're going to lose some games, and then they need him now more than ever. The problem with the Hawks, like I talked about, their inconsistency is it's been, you look at like the last 20 games, it's been lose 5, win 5, lose 3, win 4 of 5, and then they went 1-0-1 their last two games. So it's just constant up and down, and they really need some consistency right now, and they need it from the big guns. You need, like I said, he's playing better, but you need Taves. You need Kane's a point of game player again, so that's great. But you need Seabrook and Keith Seabrook, only one goal. Keith, no goals still.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have a lot of assists, but they're secondary assists. They're not really getting that big shot on net where they get some traffic, get the deflection, or get traffic and it goes right in. So you need those guys. You need those guys to play better. And are they a little older now? Yeah, but they're not that old. They should still be playing pretty well, pretty much just like they're a little past their prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully you see more out of those guys too.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. There's, you know, Patrick Sharp. It's another guy that's been a swing and a miss thus far. And you look at the way the season has gone for the Blackhawks. They really have not been able to build momentum. I mean, they came out firing against against the Penguins that nobody expected, but they have not been able to find a groove. When you think they do, then they drop three in a row.
I think everyone thought it was going to be a different season after that first game.
Yeah.
Yes, the Penguins played the night before, but everyone's a professional athlete. You play in tournaments and back-to-back games your whole life. So, yeah, especially on the road, you're going to be a little tired if you're the visiting team that played the night before. But I thought that said a lot. And Brandon Saad had a hat trick that night, and he's kind of disappeared this season a bit. And he was the guy who's supposed to get Taves going. They are playing better now, but they're catching on now, and hopefully it's not too late. Hopefully they become consistent, because that's who you need.
I mean, that's all you can hope for at this point. And you know, it'd be nice if they could get it going tonight. I mean, they've got, again, you know, they've had some winnable games that they've been able to get at least a point in. But then there's other games there's other times where they've dropped points where it just shouldn't have happened.
It shouldn't have happened.
And it's been like that all year.
And as much as Glass and obviously Forsberg, who Glass took his backup job right from him, comes in Glass with this great Cinderella story, and he's going to start again tonight. This will be his third start in a row in New York for Glass tonight. Those guys are playing good enough to win. You have Glass win his first NHL game. He's the second oldest, at 32 years old, goalie to win his NHL debut. That was two games ago versus the Oilers, won in overtime. Then he gets the overtime loss last game. But Forsberg was fine. Overall, Quinville said he's okay in his last game, but he's been good enough as your backup to win. And there's been so many games where the Hawks just didn't play well in front of him, and that's kind of been their MO with Forsberg in net, is that he plays good enough to win. Sometimes he's had some good games too, but he's usually playing good enough to win, and they just couldn't get it done for him. So yeah, neither guy's Crawford, but you're still getting goaltending that's decent enough for a win. That's keeping you close. So they do need those guys to score.
It's Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. The voice you just heard there is Scott King. I am Mike Jacobson. Again, Blackhawks Crazy. Google that, Facebook that, all that good stuff, and you will be able to find all our good stuff. You also have the Chelsea Blogger blog that's going to be continuing on WGNRadio.com. You keep up to date with that great. And what I love about your blogs is they're quick and they're to the point. They're informative. They get the quotes. You get the quotes that you need to get to help, you know, evolve the story. You do a really good job with writing. So do you have anything else right now in terms of...
Thank you. No, I don't. Been busy with the new kid. I'm hoping to have some news soon that I can share.
Because you are in the business, what we like to call a freelancer. So you do
the freelance writing
so
business.
So you can find your bylines in just about everywhere. All the places you've written for. You've written Playboy. You've written... Oh, what else?
A lot for the USA, trip.
Yeah,
a lot of Hawks
for the
trip.
You did a lot of stuff for the trip.
Over the last couple of years, and a few things for the Wall Street Journal.
Used to do the Red Eye.
A couple things for Chicago Magazine this year.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to try to keep going for them, actually.
So, cool.
They've been nice. So, we'll see. I'm here and there. I would like to just be one place, but I'm here and there for now.
Unfortunately, as a writer, that's how it goes.
That is how it is now.
So, it's just... what you got to do. You got to grind. Media is it's a grind. A lot of people don't realize, you know, we have some of the best jobs in the world, and I love it, and I've been doing it for 10 years, and I wouldn't change anything for the world, but it is a grind. It is not as easy as people think. It's not easy to find work, to keep work, and, you know, there's not a lot of money in it. A lot of people think that everybody's a millionaire in this business. It's not true. So you have to really have a passion for it, which you do, and that's why you're so good at writing, and you'll continue to get you'll continue to get your bylines, and you'll continue to get your features out there, and I'm very confident in that.
Well, thank you. Please talk like this when you call into the show. Just all I need is these confidence boosts from your calls. Now, speaking of media, though, I got to think NBC had me on Sports Sunday. And really, really set me up. You know how when you do a show and they set you up like to do a nice job?
Yeah.
They did that. They plugged our show a lot. So
that's great.
Thank you to those guys at NBC. It was a lot of fun. I think it was on like early December.
Great.
Yeah.
And that was, Safia?
Siafo Lewis.
Siafo. I always say Siafo.
And Jeff, I think Jeff Blanzy.
Okay.
The other guy. Steve Lippo is a producer who used to actually work for WGN TV.
Oh, gotcha. News,
so I appreciate him having me on and hopefully be back on there.
Good stuff. Fan questions. We actually got a couple of them today that we actually have time for fan questions today, which never happens.
I know.
So we usually run out of time.
We figured it with all this personal news, but we got them.
But you can continue to submit fan questions. Again, Blackhawks, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Best way to do it is at Scott King Media on Twitter as well. Just send it right to him, mention it to him, and he'll pick it up. And this one's from DZ321, Dennis Stevenson. Will Panic be able to shake off his slump anytime soon?
This
had a monster breakout year last year.
Great year last year.
I mean, nobody expected that.
And he mostly stayed with that first line.
Yeah, to duplicate that was probably not going to happen either way. But, yeah, he's really in a slump now.
I thought he was definitely actually going to duplicate it this year when you bring in Brandon Saad. Because he could play like a wrecking ball, and Saad and Taves can crash the net and score. So I thought that line, which has been very disappointing, was going to be, I think I said on the show, it's going to be the best line in the NHL, which I expected to. I didn't think I was crazy for thinking that. But it's been incredibly disappointing. Is he going to shake it? Look, he's out of the lineup again tonight in New York. Sharp's in. Those two guys are kind of in and out right now.
Yeah.
I think he was scratched. He got in the last game, I believe, and he was scratched six games straight before that. And around that time, I think he hadn't scored in at least 22 games. I think it might have gotten to 26, maybe. I think it was 20-ish games he hadn't scored a goal. And that's a guy who's getting minutes on the first line with Jonathan Taves and Brandon Saad.
Yeah, yeah.
So this one's very scary to me. I don't know if he's going to shake it. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to get the ice time and trust from Joel Quenneville in order to shake it. So should he be able to? If you look at the season he had last year and who his line mates are, yeah, he should be able to. I just don't know if he's going to get back in there enough to do that. And he might just be getting in on the third line. You know, I don't think they're going to break up this fourth line with Bomo, Wingles, and Hayden. They've been great all year, and not only can those guys
been a really nice surprise.
Great line. You know, it's a great point. Maybe one of the surprises of the season, and they can shut down other teams' top lines, which is what you want your fourth line to do if you're the Hawks. That's when they've won cups. That's one of the biggest reasons. So I don't think you change up that line. If he goes back in, like I said, he's interchangeable with Sharp. And DeBrincat and Camp has been is it F silent? Camp?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it is silent. Mm-hmm. But he's been centering there, brought up from Rockford. So I don't think he's going to get the chance. I mean, he's playing on a third line. I don't think, you know, he's going to get the puck a lot and a lot of scoring chances. So hopefully he just can play steady on that third line. You know, I don't want to see Sharp sitting all the time either. They brought him back to Chicago, and he's a guy who used to be able to score. So it's a tough situation now. I think Panic got himself in a bad situation. I don't know if he's going to be able to shake this slump.
We'll see what happens. That's all you can do. And one more here. Jen Perez at JennyP7214. How can the power play improve with all the talent they've got?
Well, first you have to realize that with each cup, I think, they've won in the last little bit here, all three, definitely 2015, 2013, power play has always sucked.
Yeah.
It's always
really
sucked. And it's always been something you hear on sports radio, you hear on our show, oh, I can't believe all our talent, I can't believe they're not scoring. All the talent. And yeah, that's true. It's a great point. They pass too much. They look to get too cute with their setups or their shots, and they're not converting enough. It's gotten a little better lately the last couple games, maybe not so much the last game, but especially if they're playoffs, you either need a good penalty kill or a power play, and the PK is good again. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's still good, and they're capable of killing a lot of big penalties that way. And I think that's all you need in the playoffs. And I think it's more important being able to kill a penalty. I think it's more important than a power play. I think you just need a strong PK, really.
I 100% agree.
Because they've won cups that way.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a formula that has worked in the past. Now would you like the power play to improve? Of course.
Sure. It would help a lot, but you don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the best way to do it because, it's been proven in the past this formula has worked for them. Now, again, I know rosters are different, times change, but you never know. You never know. It's not... Early, but it's still early in the season.
You're not quite at the midway point.
No. So there's plenty of time to turn it around, and if any team can do it, and they do it a lot and have proven this wrong, and they've proven us wrong so many years now where they can kick it up anytime and just really pick it up and be able to turn things around. So I'm not too concerned about that. That's for sure. Well, are we going to put a bow on it?
For the last time together?
At least together. It is... As the old saying goes, it is goodbye, but it is not farewell, my friend.
Oh.
And Winston Churchill, who is one of my favorite quotes, had a good quote, and I actually told you this when I told you about taking a new job and taking on a new challenge. And I've always been willing to take on new things, and I don't like to be complacent in my work, and everything I've done in radio has really challenged me up until this point. And right now, I just can't really find anything that is doing that for me, so... In the words of Winston Churchill, those who don't change their mind don't change anything at all. So I really think that's a good quote.
And it's a great one.
It's been a great run here at WGN. I've talked to my boss, Todd, and still willing to fill in and come in when I can. And if they ever need me to fill in for sports, if Dave Bennett's off or Kevin Powell's off or whoever, work over the holidays. So I'm not shutting the door completely. Again, it's goodbye. It's not a farewell. And I will definitely be back on this podcast. We will keep you posted on what we are doing with the podcast in terms of, I know Scott will be doing, sometimes we'll be doing solo, but I'll also too, I think we're going to be working in a partner in the near future here. And I think the person that we have in mind will be great. And it's both a friend of ours and just a good overall person in general and knows his hockey. So it could be a lot of fun. So it's been
awesome.
Really has been a blast, and I've looked forward to doing this each and every week with you.
Same here, buddy.
And it's cool now. I got a friend out of it.
Oh, thank you. Same to you, and there thanks you for everything you did for the show.
Well, that's it. WGNradio.com/Blackhawks. That's where you can find Scotty's work, the Chelsea blogger. You can find anything Blackhawks crazy there. Most importantly, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Blackhawks crazy. He is at Scott King Media. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. Go Hawks.